Congratulations. Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6. If you were here and you heard a message during the Bible conference you'd like to hear again, we have those available like we do everything else. You can listen to them online on the website. Just look under messages, sermons, I think it says, and you can get those. Or you can order those CDs. They are $3 a piece. Or you can get the whole conference, all 11 messages, including Mrs. Barton's message to the ladies on Tuesday morning, and get that whole conference, 11 messages for $20, a little less than $2 a message. So I encourage you to do that if you order that. Anybody need a worksheet? Do not get the worksheet. Slip your hand up if you will, please. Slip your hand up and they'll be right around. In fact, you know what? I'll take one just to keep myself, know where I am. Sometimes I don't remember what all, which scriptures I gave you and which ones I left on your paper there, which one I just gave the reference to. Ephesians chapter 6. This is the last chapter, and we're going to do the middle section of the last chapter. And I'm not sure how long it'll take us through to get through the armor of God. I might do it all in 1 week, but who knows, I might get stuck. You know how it goes. You get in there and find a lot of goody. You hate to pass up the goody. Ephesians is a book written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. The church of Ephesus had a lot of things in their life, a lot of different types of people, and he's pulling it all together for one church. Beginning in verse number 10 of chapter 6, Ephesians 6, 10, says, "Finally, my brethren," and by the way, this time it's real. If you see that in Philippians, he says that halfway through the book, he says, "Finally," and then he has two more chapters to go or something, but this time he's right. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, notice there's a comma after the word "all." It doesn't say, "having done all to stand." It says, "having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and you're having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Stop right there. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Be strong in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your provision. And Lord, we thank you that you're not waiting for our flesh to be the strength. If you were relying on our flesh to be the strength, we would fail for sure. And Lord, how silly it is when we try to do that exact thing. The battle's yours. So Lord, I pray that you'll be with us here this evening. Wouldn't it be a blessing? We talk about a lot of things and all the things that Christians are supposed to do and all these things, and people try to work up the strength, work up the fortitude, work up the perseverance to try to fight the battles. But Lord, this is a battle. These are battles that are outside of our realm, outside our reach, outside our ability. These are battles that we need to rely on you because you're the conqueror. And in him, that he that's within us is greater than he that's in the world. We are more than conquerors through him. But to do that, we must rely on you. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless our time here this evening. Again, I need your power, need your clarity of mind, and pray that you'll work in our hearts here this evening. In Christ's name,
Amen. Amen.
Now, we've spent many messages and some months going through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The church in Ephesus consisted of people from many walks of life, Jews and Gentiles of many nations. And from that vast array of people and cultures, God was making a unified church. They were all just sinners, saved by grace. Ephesians 4:1-7 tells us, "Therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Because there's one body, one Spirit, even as ye are all called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God." Now, he's given us different gifts and different graces, but he's given us what we need if we're willing to make use of it, if we're willing to receive it. Now, all the members of that church were bought with the price of the same blood of the same Savior, and they're sanctified by the same Holy Spirit. They had the same calling. Same with us. Same Spirit, same calling. Ephesians 4:11, you can look at it there with me. 4:11, it goes on and it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." He says, listen, he says, "I'm trying to build a church. We're all here together. We're going to teach you the Word of God." Listen, by the way, you cannot build a church on fluff. You cannot build a church just on the music. You cannot build a church just on some spiritual inspiration. You know, you can say, go get them, go get them, go get them. And that's fine if there's a foundation to which you're telling them to work from. But if you have not built a foundation, you have nothing but just simple fluff, wildfire. You've got to have the truths of the Word of God. And sometimes it is a little laborious. Sometimes it is a little much. Sometimes you have to work. We have to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We need to know the Word of God. And so he's established this. This is why we have church. This is why we have church. I appreciate you folks coming back on Sunday night. This is why we have church. You're coming back for another nugget, if you will. Verse 14, why? Why are we doing it? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. Every tendon, that word joint, every tendon, every one of us is hanging on. We all have a part of this body. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase the body into the edifying of itself in love. No longer tossed to and fro. Listen, there are folks, did you hear about the Mormon church? They had to make a statement to kind of calm everybody down because of this eclipse tonight, the blood moon. They actually made a statement to the churches out there. Said, listen, everything's okay. Don't worry about it. They're all thinking we're all going to die tonight. Now, I'm pretty sure it's not tonight because they're thinking it's tonight, where no one knows the day nor the time. So I'm pretty sure that's not it. Now, I believe it could be most any time. It could be, but it's not because they said so. It's not because of all these crazy things. We get so consumed by all these things. And, you know, and again, I'm interested, and please don't, I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm interested in the eschatology. That's the study of things to come. It's intriguing. It's interesting. Jack and I were talking about this and that and the other thing. And, you know, it is intriguing. But don't get so involved in that to the point where you're not doing what God has called you to do while we're here. Matthew 24, we've been going through that. And we went through Matthew 24. And that whole passage is, yes, this is going to happen. But the point is, are you ready? Is everybody else that you love ready? Are you serving him? Are you ready for it? Are you going to be embarrassed when he shows up because of what we're doing, what we're busy doing, and what we've got our hands into when he shows up? Or are we going to be glad to be able to say, yes, sir, that's time to go? Listen, Listen, I remember being young, not wanting to go. Right now, you know, I'm ready to go. I don't have to go the next load. If he was to go, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Now, listen, they were all to seek to come to the unity of that faith as they were all taught, edified by the Word of God through the servants of God. They were all to become followers, imitators of God as dear children, chapter 5 tells us. And then walk in love because love is of God. And he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and for God is love. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. They know that we're all growing up in it. And as we live out the fruit of the Spirit and all goodness and righteousness, we are proving, we're demonstrating what is acceptable to the Lord. We are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but fulfilling the will of the Lord. And that will for us is to be filled with Him. Filled with the Spirit of God, not living in excess and drunkenness and all this mess, to be filled with Him. And if we are filled with the Spirit, last week we talked about it, if we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to have three main attitudes. Well, it was a few weeks ago. Three main attitudes: the attitude of rejoicing, the attitude of a grateful spirit, then the attitude of a submissive and humble spirit. And then Paul goes into to illustrate the definition of humility and submission in the marriage and in the home and also in the public arena and the workplace. And we found the submission two weeks ago. Submission goes both ways, because whether we're the leader or whether we're the follower in this world, we are all to be in submission to Christ and thus in submission to one another. And in context of our position, we have submitted ourselves to what God has called us to do. Now, listen to this. Strength and humble submission in the mortal mind appears to be opposites. Let me say that again. Strength and humble submission seems to be like they wouldn't go together in our natural mind. And yet it is our submission to God. It is in that submission to God that we are actually truly strong. Our strength is in the Lord. I quoted this morning for a different need there, but 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Most gladly. So if that's the case, well then, hey, gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He says, I'm glad. He said, that's what it takes to make me strong. Then bring it on. Bring it on. You know, listen, everybody has problems. And God is trying to work in all our lives. I haven't quoted this much recently, but for a while there I was quoting almost every week. God, that's the finding pot for silver, the furnace for gold, but God tries the heart. God puts pressure. God puts heat on us to show us what we are. Now listen, when you put the gold ore in the finding pot, you put it in the furnace, it's gonna melt everything. The gold's gonna sit on the bottom and all the junk's gonna float to the top. Now what do you do when all that stuff floats to the top? You scoop it off. Get rid of it. That's what we are to do, to confess, look, it's there, and forsake. Get rid of it. Listen, we go through the finding pot. We go through the heat. We go through the problems. And all of a sudden, what starts coming out of us is not good stuff. And we say, oh, man, they're all going to think I'm a sinner. Duh. And said, we are. And so what do? We say, well, I don't want anybody to see that, so we hide it. We stir it right back down in there. We forget it's there, pretend it's not there. You know what God has to do? He's got to heat you up, put the pressure on you all over again to bring it to the top. These people, there's some people who live their lives in this cycle. God does something, and he's working in their heart. He's bringing it to the top, and when it comes up, they do not want to admit it's there. They do not want to allow it to shame them, so they'd rather just keep it. And they just kind of pretend it's not there and put on a good face and go through it do it again, and God has to take us through the cycle over and over and over. When he brings that up, confess it, forsake it, move on. Let that become who you are. Let me give you number one. This is a saying I have said so many times, so you can probably give me the word for number one. Victory is in the, amen, you remember. It's not in the surrender to the world. It's not giving up and saying, okay, devil, you get the victory, I'll let you go. No, it's in the surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the surrender to the power of God. It's saying, I cannot fight this on my own. God, you have to do it. What do you want me to do? You've heard me say a few weeks ago, it's like, Sterling Walsh reporting for duty. Tell me what to do, sir. That's how you fight the battle. You don't give in to the enemy. You go to the commanding officer and take orders from him to defeat the enemy, and then he gives you the power to do the work. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That little word in, I am, through the instrumentality of, through the Lord, in the Lord. He is the tool he's going to use. You're not strong, we're not strong in ourselves. We're strong in the Lord. When we've given everything and put it in his hands, when we're living in his spirit, when we're in him, in Christ, we have so much, we're strong in the Lord. That word strong means empowered. The word you're looking there is fit to be fulfilled. Fit to fulfill. He says, be strong in the Lord, empowered, enabled, made fit to fulfill our position and calling. He says, in the Lord, I can be made fit to fulfill our position, to fill our calling, to do what God has called us to do. I can be strong in the Lord. Listen, there's a lot of things we do that we work up our own power, and then we think we're doing God a favor by giving him credit. Well, the Lord did this, the Lord did this, the Lord did this. Probably he didn't do a lot of that stuff. I mean, I know all good stuff, that all every good thing comes from him. But we go out and do a lot of things. We try to give him credit and think he needs the credit. If we say that he did it, then we really did rely on him. Well, how much time did you actually spend on your knees in prayer? How much time did you actually go to the book of the commanding officer to get to find out what he wanted us to do? So I didn't know where to look. That's why we're in church. So that we know, so we learn these principles now, so when the crisis shows up, we're ready to meet the crisis. Yes, if you wait till the crisis that shows up to go find the thing, chances are, well, I know it's in there. I think it says something about a little late, the crisis comes, we've got to face the crisis. And tomorrow's going to come, the crisis is going to be passed if we face it the right way. That's why we're here. That's why we're learning. He says, be strong in the Lord, empowered, fit to fulfill our position. And that word, strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. The vigor, watching, the conquering ability of his might. The conquering ability is the word he's looking for, ability of his might. Here's this word, forcefulness. He says, we are made fit to fulfill our position, to fill what God's called us to do by the power, the ability of God's forcefulness, the ability of God's might. God can do it. We can't, but he can do it through us. He works things that we can't understand. Psalm 40 verse 4 says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. He says, listen, I don't care what they're saying out there. I don't care how loud they say it. I don't care how many times they say it. It makes no difference. This is what the word said. This is where I'm sticking with. I saw him one time tell me they were talking about two things in Matthew and Mark. And he said, well, yeah, but this doesn't say that God doesn't say this in Mark. But he said it in Matthew. He didn't have to say it in Mark. He said it in Matthew. Yeah, I mean, isn't this all God's word? Well, let's let us say, if he said it once, it's still true. Now, if he says it four or five times, he's saying, listen, you better listen up here. This is the biggie. But if any of us says it once, it's still God's word. It's still God's word. Psalm 56:11 says, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. If you're still afraid, then you still haven't put it in his hands. In God I put my trust. Putting it there and leaving it there. handing it over. And every time your heart wants to take it back, give it back to him. I'm serious. You might have to give it back to him 50 times in one day. Listen, there are times when I've said, oh, I'm sorry. I did. I saved my heart to the Lord. I'm sorry. I was stupid. Did it again, didn't I? All right, it's yours. It's yours. Psalm 146:3 says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Listen, he said, the Lord, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the self-existing one, the creator of all the universe, he's my help. Well, I think he can handle it. So I don't see, you know how few there are that really put things in God's hand? There are people who put things in God's hands, they say, well, here it is, God, and then they go about to try to fix it themselves. Now, I know we got to say, well, maybe there's something I need to do. Yes, there may be something to do. But have you spent some time in prayer, in the Word, in listening to Him, what He has to say? Have you made those decisions? Can you say, I know this is right because this is what the Word says. I know this is wrong, even though it looks good. I know this is wrong, so I'm not going to do this because this would compromise this principle. We're going to be in the power of His might. Proverbs 21:30 says, there's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. In the power of His might. Now listen, you ought to get an education. We ought to study the Bible. Listen, you ought to go out and learn and do everything you can do. But when it's all said and done, the victory is in Him. Safety is in the Lord. Oh yeah, prepare the horse for battle, but you better get yourself ready, your heart ready for Him. Get Him, get in on His side. So you know what's going to happen. Micah 6:6. Going to the end of verse 8 is what I'm looking for. He says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams or 10,000 of rivers of oils? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. He said, can I get all real religious? I'll give a whole bunch of stuff. I'll sacrifice a bunch. That'll get God on my side. That'll help me do it. He says, no. Listen, what's good? What is it the Lord wants? He says, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God. Do right. Do right. Do right. As soon as I stop doing right, I'm going to be off in the briars, off in the mess, off in the... You say, well, I don't know what to do. Do right. Well, I know I'm supposed to do right, but I'm between this rock and a hard place, and I don't know which way to go. Do right. Maybe I can't make it. There may be something I can... There's nothing I can do about the situation. You're in a marriage. It's just tough. And they're doing a lot of things you wish they didn't do, and you're kind of stuck with all this stuff. Do right. Well, they did so, and it really made it hard on my life. Just do right. That's what God requires. When I do what He asked me to do, God will show Himself strong on my behalf. And He's saying here, He said, listen, what does the Lord require of thee? What does He require? To do justly, love mercy toward others, and walk humbly before God. Stop judging everybody else. Start judging yourself. Walk before God, asking what He wants you to do, and do it. Let me give you number two. Dress for victory. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How are we going to do that? We're going to, number two, dress for victory. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now we're going to spend a lot of time on this verse here tonight. That word put on, the whole armor of God, that word put on, number one underneath there, means to sink down. To sink down. To invest your very being in wholeheartedly. Now, I think I told you about this a few months ago. Years ago, when I was in college, I was a music major. Our college choir went on tour. We went up to New England. There was a lot of older homes up there. And I stayed at this one home that was all kind of being kept kind of to the era. You know what I mean? And they had a guest room back there. And I walked in, and I could kind of look. I looked at the bed, and I could kind of tell it was an old rope bed with a feather tick. Now, some of you old folks know what I'm talking about, but it was an old rope bed with a feather tick. Now, the tick isn't a little bug that crawls on you and bites you. It's a great big cloth bag, if you will, filled with feathers. Now, you don't get on a bed like that. You get in bed. I mean, once you're in bed, you're in bed. You kind of have to roll toward the edge, get all the feathers kind of go around until you get off. And you just kind of get in there, and you just kind of sink in. You know, you're sinking in. It kind of envelops you. It almost takes charge of you. I mean, you're trying to get out, and it's one of these things, you know, trying to get back out of it. You're sinking in, being almost enclosed by it. But it's a very comfortable place to go. I tell you, you get an old feather tick. And who was it? John Denver used to sing an old song, Grandma's Feather Bed, you know. And all the dogs and everybody else all up in the feather bed. But I tell you what, you sleep real well in that feather bed. Very comfortable, very safe, very warm place to be. He says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to sink into the armor of God. I wanted to just kind of enclose who you are. You get in there and just kind of let it envelop you. Just kind of let it gather all around you. Just get in that armor and get in it good. And you're going to find actually it's a very comfortable place to be. A very safe place to be. Sometimes you may feel a little bit straightened by it, a little bit held in place by it, but it's a wonderful place to be. It's a restful place. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Number two, it's the entire set of tools that are given to us to be at our disposal. To put on the armor, the entire set of tools, the whole armor. These are some things. You say, well, how am I supposed to live victorious? How am I supposed to be strong in the Lord? This is what we're talking about. You know, we hear messages on the armor of God and so forth, but the fact is we kind of talk about, I don't know, adding a little bit of this to your life and adding a little bit of this life. No, just it would just sink down in it and have it be part of who you are. It's almost like you're glued to that bed, that old feather bed. Now notice it says the whole armor. In fact, if you go down, verse 13, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor, that ye may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand. That whole armor, it's very similar. Listen, our world doesn't want to, our world almost makes fun of grandma and grandpa and the folks years ago that, man, they their whole life just running around the church. Man, it just seemed like they were there. That's what we did. We'd go to church on Sunday. You stay all day. Have dinner on the ground. That's what you did. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, if, you know, the preacher came to town, you went to all the services. We'd have services for 2 weeks straight, you know, and that's what, and it was long, but that's what you did. In fact, it was good back there years ago before we had TV and movies and all this other stuff to go back home to. The only entertainment they had was to see if the preacher's going to yell and strain his voice. But it went. It was almost consuming. We talk about on Sunday morning about having a heart that's perfect toward God, wanting Him and Him alone. Same thing goes with the armor of God. You know what happens? We say, well, I've got a couple of those. Do that. God will be okay. Go into battle. You've got your breastplate of righteousness, your shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. But you leave your helmet at home. Are you ready to meet the battle? No. In fact, you know, you put your helmet of salvation on. That's one of the important things. So you put on your helmet of salvation, you've got the sword of the Spirit, you've got your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Amen. But you leave the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith at home. Now you're exposed. You know, the devil knows all your weaknesses. He's kind of like a sniper, and he's got his scope on you, and he can see exactly where the hole is. Bang! He knows what buttons it takes to push to get us out of whack. I mean, he's not going to say, oh, well, he doesn't have a shield of faith today. Well, I'll give him a break. I'll aim for the helmet that way. Because he's not going to aim for the helmet. He's going to aim for where you're weak. Well, I've got some of the armor. No, put it all on. Put the whole armor on. It is at our disposal. And we want to go out here and face the foes of this world half clothed, half ready. And we wonder why we're still in trouble. Letter B, we dress for victory, watch me, by giving everything over to God. We dress for victory by giving everything over to God. It says stand. Here it is, to establish, then to abide, and then to continue. That word stand is more than just, stand. No, it's to take a stand. You establish. You find where you're supposed to be, and you establish what's right. And then you abide. You settle yourself there. And then you continue there. We don't need some kind of new philosophy coming along that's going to change the whole world. Let's find the same old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Good enough for father. Good enough for mother. Good enough for me. It's the Word of God. Find it. Stand there. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. You put the whole armor on there. And so when you've got the armor on, you find where you're supposed to stand, establish, and you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to stay because you are safe within the armor. You've sunk yourself down in the armor. He says, stand against the wiles of the devil. I like this one. Brandon, stand up. Hate to do this to you, but you're the devil. You know how it says to stand? Nose to nose. Nose to nose. Belly to belly. You got a good cook for a wife there. Amen. Yeah, amen. All right. Nose. Have a seat. You do, in other words, right there. Oh, why are we scared of the devil? He's a defeated foe. I'll tell you why we're scared of the devil, because we're trying to fight him in the power of our own might. We can't beat the devil. But the fact is, the devil cannot defeat us as long as we stay sunk into the armor of God. Now, wait a minute. We're going to get to this. Defeating the devil is no problem when we have the right man on our side. I love that song, Mighty Fortress. I don't know whether you could read this when we In fact, it's almost funny. When Martin Luther, I know it's Martin Luther, but when he puts it, he has this little humor in here. I love this. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe, old Satan, doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide? If we were trusting in our own strength, our striving would be losing. It wouldn't be worth the effort. We're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. I love this. Dost thou ask who that may be? He says, our man, you got the right man. Okay, do you want to ask who that is? I'll tell you who it is. Christ Jesus, it's he. Lord Sabbath, the Lord of the hosts, the Lord of all the armies. The Lord of Sabbath is his name. From age to age the same. And he must win the battle. He doesn't take no for an answer. He's not going to take losing for an answer. And watch this. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. I love this. One little word shall fell him like a tree. Just knock him down a tree. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours, through him with us asideth. Let goods and kindred go. Let this mortal life also. In other words, put everything in him. This body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, and his kingdom is forever. We still win. Let me give you number two there. The armor of God are not the tools of man. They're tools of the divine. The armor of God are the tools of the divine. They're the tools, armor of God, divine, the God. So he says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's the wiles of the devil? Well, let's start with the word devil. This is interesting. The word devil means traducer, or let's say accuser. Accuser. A slanderer. One who digs up dirt for people to throw at each other. He wants to destroy us. So you know what he does? He does some of the work for you. You know, if you want to find something bad, you want to find something that's not right, all you got to do is watch enough each of us long enough, and we'll find us someplace where we messed up. And the devil's more than willing to help you do the job. And he's gonna say, Brandon, do you know what that Steve Jagger did? I'll tell you what he did. He says, man, he's on staff. He's my brother-in-law. He shouldn't do that. I don't think we should go over to their house anymore. Don't let our kid, our little, oh, we're having a girl, by the way, another girl, just so you know. Esther's having another girl. I'm not gonna let our daughter play with their daughter. Because, you know, Juliet, she's, you know, the daughter of Steve Jagger. And so he's gonna find something and put it in your hand so that you can throw it at him. Then he's gonna find something and say, well, you know what the Brandon did? You know what he did? And he's gonna put something in his hand. Before long, we've split up the family. We've split up the church. We split up friends. And you know what happens? We're all fighting each other. When we're all fighting each other, the devil wins. Because everything goes right down the tubes. No one's doing what we're supposed to do. We're all full, putting all our flesh, all our time, all our energy in this mess. It's an accuser. Satan is the god of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. And in Ephesians 2:2, we talk about he's the prince of the power of the air. In Revelation, it says he's the great dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. And by the way, when we're running around telling everybody else's problems and faults, we're in step with the devil. I'm sorry. Now, we've all probably been guilty of that one time or another. We start to, the accuser. Listen, it may not be false accusations. Now, it may be. But actually, it works a whole lot better when it's right down real. And the devil knows what's going on in your life. And my guess is he can find something real. Well, the preacher don't care about anybody because, you know, he didn't, so-and-so was sick and he never called him. Now they're going to get rid of the preacher. Doesn't care. Well, you know that Sunday school teacher? You know what they did? They used the wrong word right there. Right there, they said the wrong thing there, you know, and they're teaching heresy. One thing, we can split everything wide open. And what we need to do is just be humble before God to, look, listen, love mercy and walk humbly before our God. There's somebody that's got a problem, you pray for them. You don't need to tell everybody their faults and their problems. So that's, watch, the word two, I mean, number two is the word wiles. The wiles of the devil. So the devil is the accuser. The word wiles, this is interesting. You go back and look it up. It means to accompany. To accompany. To go with you while you travel. The word travesty is mockery, pretense, charade, trickery. Satan just sticks around like glue on your shoe. Gum on your shoe. Pick on you again, Brandon, come here. You're walking through your day's work, and old devil, he's your best friend. He thinks he is. He's going to let you know. You know what Steve did? He left early. He left early. Now, I know he comes in, you know, at 7:30 instead of 8:30 like the rest of us, but he left at 3:30. I know the rest of us leave at 4:30, but you know when he did that? And he says, the wiles of the devil, he just hangs around. He accompanies you. And he slanders. And he, you know what else he says? After a while he says, you know, you did something like that the other day, and you think you're a preacher. You ought to get out of the business. You ought to forget about that. What right do you have that? People out here, they don't care what you say. You ought to just get out of here. You see what I'm saying? Have a seat. The wiles of the devil will just beat you up, beat you to pieces. He'll make sure he sends somebody around just to remind you of your shortcomings. Just, or the trickery, if he can't get you defeated that way, he'll tell you how great you are. You're so good. Why in the world are you working here at this church? Man, you could be doing something a whole lot better. We had a guy come through years and years ago down an open door. We had him in for the sweetheart banquet. And he came in to do the music. And we had a great church down there. And the Lord was using, was blessing. And he came up to me. I don't know how they got a hold of this guy. They found him in an independent Baptist church. He took me aside in the lobby of the church. And he says, why are you here, Sterling? I said, what do you mean, why are you here? I'm music. He said, man, if you would just join such and such denomination, you could be the music director there in one of those churches. They would just pick you up just like that. All you got to do is join such and such denomination. Listen, you'd be making three times what you're making now. Man, I tell you what, they would love you. The fact is, my guess is you'd have a national ministry if you would just kind of join up with us. The wiles of the devil. The devil is going to come to you in a red suit with a fiery pitchfork and horns and a tail. He's not going to do that. He's going to come as an angel of light who says he's your friend. Oh, Wile E. Coyote, he just keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back. and keeps coming back. If Satan cannot stop you from being saved, he will do everything he can to stop us from being fruitful. If Satan cannot destroy us, he will do all he can to convince us to destroy one another. If Satan cannot defeat us, he will do everything he can to convince us to defeat ourselves and defeat each other. Letter C, the wiles of the devil. The devil slanders God. Number one underneath letter C, the devil slanders God. That means he tries to convince us that we do not need God because we're sufficient in ourselves. Well, you don't need that. That God thing doesn't work. That's exactly what he did to Adam and Eve. Half God said. Oh, come on. He's just holding out on you. He knows, listen, he knows as soon as you eat this fruit, you'll be as God knowing good and evil. You get to choose what's right and what's wrong. He just doesn't want any competition. That's his fault. That's his problem. God just doesn't want any competition. Satan doesn't want any competition. He said, God doesn't want any competition. Look at this. Read it with me there. Did I give it to you, 1 Peter? You got to look it up. 1 Peter 5:1. Did I give it to you? No, you got to look it up. Look it up. Walk through this with me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. First Peter 5, 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also the partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2. He's going to pick on preachers here, but you'll be able to see it. Feed the flock of God which among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, Christ, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, watch, in the same way, ye younger submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So that's how we're supposed to live, humbly before others. He says, be sober, clear-minded, vigilant. Make sure you're determined, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That old Satan, that slanderer, he's walking about trying to eat us up. We're going to go a bit further in this in a second here. He's trying to eat us up. Number two, underneath that, the devil slanders others. The devil slanders God. He says, well, he's no good. He's not working. He tells you don't need him. The devil slanders others. Why? To cause division by convincing us to distrust one another and to falsely accuse one another. He slanders God, the old devil. He's an accuser. He's doing whatever he can to just break this all up. I can't trust them. Can't trust this. Can't do this. Well, we got to leave. Well, I'm not going back to a church. I can't tell you how many folks, when I first came here, told me, well, I promised myself I'd never go back to a church again. I mean, remember how many times I came home? And I come home and say, they told me, I promised myself I'd never go back to another church because I saw this, and we were having a church meeting. Before long, they were having a fight down in front of the church. And so we left that church. We went to this church. Before long, we were there, and they had this great big split, and I know this happened. These people hurt these people, and these people hurt these people. And they're all saying they're doing it in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. I've heard about churches where they said they had a big, great big split, and people would show up at other people's houses who left and stab their tires. I mean, in this area, this is not God. You listen, I'm not in competition with Roundtown Baptist Church. Brother Jason Gregg was here the other night. I'm not in competition with them. They're not in competition with us. We're in the same team. Jason Myers over there in Hanover, I'm not in competition with him. He's not in competition with me. We're on the same team. The fact is, I'm not in competition with Bible Baptists. Listen, if they're getting folks saved, leave them alone. And if we're getting folks saved, let's leave us alone. You know, listen, we're on the same team. Let's not divide up. Listen, God will divide up the folks within a church, but then he'll divide up the churches within a county. Well, those Baptists, they can't get along with anybody. No, I know we're renegades by nature. I know we're kind of determined by nature. And that's fine. That's okay. That's good. But listen, let's not defeat each other. There's not going to be one church that's going to do everything exactly the way we do it. Now, I think we're right. But they think they're right. And the fact is, maybe within the context of where they are, it's possible, maybe within the context of where they are with the people that God has given them, maybe they are right. As long as it doesn't go against God's word. But I'll tell you where we get into problem, where we start to slander each other. And all wiles of the devil will walk with us and walk with us and just pat us on the back and tell us how great, and everybody else is wrong. Before you say, yeah, they are wrong. Well, maybe I should. Well, we don't. Well, we're not going to talk to them anymore. We can't talk to them anymore. Listen, come on. We are the body of Christ. Number three, goes right with this. Recognize the enemy. Recognize the enemy. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that's nations and world powers, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They are not the enemy. Flesh and blood is not the enemy. They're sinners that Satan's trying to defeat, just like we are. He's trying to defeat us. Pray for one another. Help one another. Love one another. Now, you know, if they go off in some kind of crazy heresy, we don't follow them out and so forth and others, all that kind of stuff. But come on. I remember Dr. Barton telling me, oh, this was years and years ago. He had been to that church. He had been at People's Baptist for 5 or 6 years. And he said, people are giving him a hard time. I said, why are they giving you a hard time? He says, because we don't have a bus ministry. I said, well, why are they giving you a hard time? He said, well, you know how it is. You build a church, and the first thing you do is you do this and this, and you do the bus ministry, then you do the school, and then you do the institute. And this is what you do. Well, why? Well, that's just what everybody else does. I feel like that's what you got to do. He said, Brother Sterling, he said, I'm afraid to start a bus ministry because our town are full of gangs. They had one year ago. They had some years ago. And the fact is, the police was there every week. And we weren't getting anything accomplished. So you go out there, you didn't know who all you were getting. And they all end up on the same, you know, you get a busload from this street and a busload from this street. And bang, you just brought a gang war right into your church. Now, at this point, now they have a bus ministry. They do those kind of things. But they found some ways of dealing with some things. But right then, it wasn't the thing to do. It's okay. It's okay. We need to recognize the enemy. Letter B, Satan distracts our attention from him by using others as his camouflage. Satan distracts others, distracts us, distracts our attention by using others as his camouflage. The devil hides behind the worked up flesh of other people, so we will attack one another instead of resisting him and thus causing him to flee. You resist the devil, he'll flee. But we're going to stop right here after this, but let me give this because it's time to stop. You've seen me do this, but I'm going to do it again. I need Steve and Brandon. Nice to have both son-in-laws here. You can have somebody to pick on. Nathan's not here to pick on. I still have people talking about how he was standing one here and I came along and snatched him up and ran him like a football. All right, you stand. Stand right here. Stand shoulder to shoulder. Okay? You know what the devil does? He walks along and gets him and he goes, and you know what he does? He says, hey, what's the matter with you? Me? It was you. You were the one that had the problem. No, you hit me. And he comes around and he does it again. But you see, Satan's over here. You don't see Satan. All he sees is Brandon. So Satan gets under his skin and makes him move. And after a while, he's saying, man, I don't want to even have to be near this guy. Huh? I'm going to sit over here on this side of the church. I don't even want to talk to him. Well, after that, he says, boy, he's such a snob. I come near him, he won't even talk to me. Well, of course I won't talk to you because you just keep messing me up. But the fact is, you guys get a little something, you know, get all squared away, and after a while, he'll come around here. I can even hide behind him a little better, and he'll do it with him. You see what I'm saying? He uses people to destroy each other. Thank you. Now, that's the wiles of the devil. He distracts our attention from him by using others as his camouflage. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's more going on than we understand. And we've got to remember, yes, listen, we have a battle. He didn't say well, there's not a battle. There is a battle, but it's not against flesh and blood. Now the fact is, no, I can't. When I was younger, so I could probably take them, but I probably can't anymore. But in flesh and blood, I could say, well, you know, I could outthink them, or I could do this, or I could do that, or I could hold their paycheck over them, their head. You know, wouldn't that be a stupid thing? Wouldn't that be a stupid thing? In fact, be honest with you, there are probably some folks who probably have a problem that I've hired my two son-in-laws. Chances are. Now, the fact is, if they can do the work, why not? Now, here's this. You know what they're going to say? Well, you know what? I bet the pastor cut some slack. I told him when they came in, I said, when we're at work, I'm the pastor. I'm your boss. And you know what they do? They come in, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, yes, sir. Well, can I do this? They bring the purchase order in. They follow the rules. There's been a couple times when I've called them in and I've said, you know what, here's how we probably should handle this. Maybe we need to do this instead of this next time. Which is really the same way I would handle things with Steve. Pastor Burrell. This is what we're going to do. This is how we need to do it. Now, when we're home, I'm dad. I'll soon be known as Poppy instead, but, you know, I'm dad. Now, the fact is, do you realize, watch this, when God set up his priestly crew and the Levites, they were all from the same family. Right? Aaron and all his sons, they were the ones that were supposed to run the place. Now listen, do we have to be careful? Yes, we got to be careful. But the fact is, we got to run things with integrity. We got to do things right. We got to do things above board. They're just as accountable as anybody else who's ever been on staff. I've got to hold them to things just like I would anybody. Listen, I have a responsibility to this ministry over them. I've got to love Christ more than I love my sons and my daughters and my sons-in-laws. I don't have a daughter-in-law yet, working on it there, but you know, listen. I'm held accountable. This old devil wants to do whatever he can to beat this up. Now, so are there some natural concerns? Yes. Listen, the slanderer doesn't necessarily make up stuff. He can stir up stuff that's real. But he can also make up stuff. Listen, we've got to realize that God has a work here. He's doing a work. And we need to make sure that we're not letting him use us to tear things apart. There can be legitimate concerns and for such as this type of thing. Sure. But we need to be above board. We need to do what we're right. What's right? So recognize the enemy. The enemy, there's no enemies in here. There is no enemy in here. There's maybe many, we're all been victims of the enemy. We've all been used by the enemy. He's pushed us into each other for years. Realize who's doing the pushing. Listen, when your spouse has a bad day and they come home and they rake you over the coals, they're not the enemy. They're the victim of the enemy. And you want the same thing to happen when it's you. When it's you. We got to stop right here. Let's pray. Listen, we'll work on this some more next week. Be strong in the Lord. I would suggest you go back and read it and get this scripture in your mind before we're ready for next week. Father, thank you for your word and for your truths. And Lord, Lord, help us to be sober, vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to eat us up by getting us to defeat ourselves, defeat each other. Lord, give us your wisdom, your understanding, and your insight. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book, and we're going to